Good morning. I don't know if we have any first timers in the building. If we do, let me just say welcome on behalf of the congregation, our pastors, our church family. We are excited that you all are here, and especially to our online family, good morning. If this is your first time, my name is Wes. I'm an elder here at Belmont, and I also lead our community groups. And so I'm pretty excited about the message today. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited that all of you look beautiful. I'm excited that we've got online folks. Matter of fact, I got to shout out some folks online. Jamanda, good morning. My Uncle David is tapped in. Matter of fact, my Uncle David, check this out. He's from Venezuela, and I think he's been more consistent with joining us online than I've been. I think I've missed a few Sundays, but he's been here every single Sunday. So big shout out to Uncle David. My boy Mickey is joining us online, the Garland family. Good to see you. And thank you for hosting. This is a good Sunday. Anybody feel good this morning? All right, we got about, I think, this side of the room. So I need to preach. I'm going to preach over here this morning. Because this side of the room, I think y'all need a little Jesus love this morning. All right, so I'm going to come in this way this morning. But today, we are going to continue in our study in the book of Proverbs. Here at Belmont, we're a church that believes in Jesus. We're a church that wants you to belong to a group of believers. And ultimately, we are a church that wants you to live out your faith and to become all that you can be in Christ, all right? And so if you are joining us for the first time, we're going through Proverbs. And Proverbs is neat. There's 31 chapters, and typically you can do that pretty easily. Each day you take a chapter. I think there's 30 days in June, so y'all might have to double up one of the chapters. But either way, we're going through. So if you've missed out or you're just starting, the good news is I'm going to catch you up, all right? Pastor John kicked us off in chapter 1 last week. Today we'll be picking up in chapter 6, and I believe it's June 6th, so we're right on track, all right? So before we begin, I want to tell you all that the book of Proverbs, if you did miss last week, is a book. It's a collection of religious and moral sayings. The reader, so that's me, that's you, Kelly, that's you, Pam, that's you, Jay. It's giving me and you, all of us, advice about how to live a good and godly life. Does anybody need advice this morning on how to live a good and godly life? All right, that's right, that's right. So today's message will highlight the wisdom of hard work, which is actually the title of today's message. So if you're taking notes, I'm giving you a title right now. It's the wisdom of hard work. And hopefully, prayerfully, the message this morning is going to help us as believers come to grips with the hard work of self-discipline, the hard work of foresight, the hard work of diligence and commitment. And we're even going to look to the example of a very tiny creature who most of you likely despise to see how we can do better and be better. And ultimately, I want us all to be reminded that it's time to get up from our sleep. You might not think you sleep this morning, but as we get into the message, you may find that you're asleep this morning. All right? If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. And while you do that, I do got to shout out my brother Bill. Good to see you, Bill. It does my heart well to see you. Proverbs chapter 6. Our study this morning is going to take us from verse 6 to verse 11. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. And I want to encourage you all to take notes, all right? I think there's a connection card in the seat pockets in front of you, or use your smartphone, because Proverbs is very practical, and each of us should be able to walk away today having a deeper understanding of God's word and a few insights on how to become more like Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity this morning to gather together, to be here in this place, to share in your love, to share in your glory, to share in the wisdom that you are going to give us from Proverbs. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that they would leave today after hearing the message changed just a little bit, not because of anything I'm necessarily saying or doing, but because you are touching them. Even right now, Father God, as I pray, I ask that you touch every heart and mind, here this morning. Lord, help us to understand how the wisdom of work can help us to live a more full life, a godly life poured out to you. Lord, this service is for you. This message is for you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We need you, and we trust you. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And the church said, amen. All right, so it's important to know right off the bat that the book of Proverbs, it's like an instructional manual. All right, it leads you and I in righteous living before God. And as I stated earlier, my prayer is that each of you can practically take something away about how to live a good and godly life. Now, in order to receive the wisdom from the book of Proverbs, it's important that there is a commitment to the Lord Jesus first. It's important that the Lord Jesus is placed at the center of your life. And we're actually going to visit this during the last point this morning, but I want to be clear up front, because a lot of times preachers, we put that at the end of the message, right? When we have a call to Jesus, so to speak. But I want to let you know right up front that if you do not have Jesus at the center of your life, what I'm saying today, it's not going to hit like it needs to, all right? If you think about that time you first came to Jesus, or that time when somebody handed you a Bible and said, hey, where should I start? A lot of times we'll say, well, start at Proverbs, right? I would caution you in that. While that is great advice, really what you want to tell folks is start with Jesus, all right? Be sure you understand what a commitment to him looks like. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and unpack this wisdom of hard work. And I'm going to go ahead and give you our three main points up front so you can have them to work off of, all right? So our first point this morning is going to be the hard work of self-discipline. The hard work of self-discipline. Our second point this morning is the hard work of foresight and diligence. The hard work of foresight and diligence. And our last point this morning is the hard work of committing to Jesus. The hard work of committing to Jesus. And my prayer is that these three points will ultimately help us understand the wisdom of hard work. And I'm going to work to be abundantly clear about how these point back to the wisdom of hard work. So I'm going to go ahead and read the entire passage for us, and then we'll come back and work through it. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, says this: go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander. The ant, it has no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Well, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Point number one, the hard work of self-discipline. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 starts us off. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. That seems a little harsh. I don't know what word your Bible has for sluggard, but mine says sluggard. And personally, I have never used that word in my life. As by show of hands, has anyone ever used the word sluggard? What? We got one person. Maybe if you're online and you use the word sluggard, we got two. I see that hand right there. If you're online and you use that word, put it in the chat. Let me know, because we only got two people in here who use that word. So I thought it would be important to maybe give us another word in case your Bible has sluggard as well. So sluggard, another word you could consider is slouch or loafer. So if I call you a sluggard, I'm basically saying you are a lazy person. Go to the ant, you slouch. Consider its ways and be wise. Well, naturally, after reading that, I'm thinking we should all probably go to the ant and consider its ways. So I'm going to actually ask my lovely wife, Whitney. She'll got a little prop for you, a little gift. We don't have enough for everyone, but she's going to hand out an ant, all right? And I was going to put them, I don't know if you can see this in the camera, but She's going to be handing out this little ant right here to a few of you. I thought about placing them on the pews before y'all got here, but I thought, you know, that might send the wrong message. I didn't want, you know, a new timer to come in and be like, what kind of church did I just... So anyways, this is why. Go to the ant, you sluggard. The Bible tells us that we need to figure out its ways, all right? The Bible tells us the ant has no commander. It has no one leading it. No one is telling the ant what to do. It has no overseer, no ruler. Even so, we're asked to consider its ways. So some of you have your ant right now. If you do, take it out. If you don't, just picture an ant in your mind. You might have some crawling around in your house right now because it's a little hot and they like hot weather. I'm going to give us a couple of ways that I think we should consider this morning. A few ways that I believe will be valuable to the message. And as I list these, I want you to think about how the ant's way might apply to your life. All right, so here we go. Let's first take into consideration that ants are masters of overwintering or waiting out the winter season. When cold air arrives, ants' body temperatures drop dramatically and their movements become sluggish. Ants respond by seeking out warm places such as deep soil, under rocks, or under the barks of trees. Now get this, ants wait out the winter season on a community level by hunkering down in clusters to maintain body heat, which shelters their population's lifeline. Some of y'all probably missed that. Let me give you that again. Ants wait out their winter season on a community level by hunkering down in clusters to maintain body heat, sheltering their population's lifeline. When the warm weather returns, ants become active again, and this is when you start seeing them outside your homes. All right, let's consider the fact this morning that the ant is a highly social and effective communicator. Which is interesting because my ant, it doesn't have any ears. Ants actually hear by feeling vibrations in the ground through their feet. They communicate with chemicals. Or perhaps we should take into consideration that because ants are so small, their muscles are actually thicker relative to their body mass than in larger animals. So this allows ants to carry objects much heavier and much bigger than them, all right? So most ants can actually lift upwards of 10 to 50 times their body weight. So just to put that into perspective for you, if I could lift 10 times my body weight, that means I'm gonna be outside after service picking up Miss Pam's car and bringing it to the front entrance so she doesn't have to go anywhere. That's what we're talking about right here. Now, these are all nice facts, right? But what I want you to take away from this is that all of these things require a high level of self-discipline and hard work. An ant has no ruler, yet they have the self-discipline to prepare for the seasons ahead. The question is, are you ready to do the hard work to prepare for the season ahead? And I'm not just talking about climatic, right? I'm not just talking about winter, summer, spring, fall. I'm talking about, are you preparing for the financial season that's ahead? Are you getting with your community and letting them know about the physical season that might be coming upon you? Are you hunkering down with folks to maintain your lifeline by letting your community of believers know about the relational season you might be going through, or perhaps that's upcoming? An ant is an effective communicator, unable to speak or hear, yet their self-discipline creates an environment for them to succeed. Now, I'm pretty sure I see a lot of wives writing right now. I think some of them took out a highlighter because they're like, you know what? I need to take that home to my husband. And okay, Wes is talking and he says, consider the ways of the ant, that the ant can't speak. So you might, Wes, my wife is going to tell me afterwards, look, I get Joel's tracking me here. The women are like, sometimes, guys, y'all just don't need to speak. You know, if you want to be an effective communicator, take a note from the ant. Just be quiet. Listen. Are you an effective communicator? You know, I know you all weren't prepared to perhaps hear so much of a science lesson this morning, but the Bible tells us to observe the careful labor of the ant so that we may gain wisdom. I'm simply sharing some very real observations about the ant. I mean, did anyone here this morning know that the ant could carry up to 50 times their body weight? We've got a few. And keeping our physical health, I mean, in order to do that, you've got to upkeep your physical health, which requires what? Self-discipline. The ant utilizes its energy and resources very carefully. So this is where the wisdom and hard work begins to come into play. If you can work through the hard work of having self-discipline, the self-discipline to involve the community of believers, to help shelter you through your trying season. If you can have the self-discipline to figure out how you need to be an effective communicator and be highly social. If you can figure out how your own health and help and allowing people to help you when perhaps you are in need, that's where the wisdom comes from. Yes, it's hard work, but that's where the wisdom lies. Will you be like the ant, or will you be like the sluggard? The hard work of self-discipline. On to our second point this morning, the hard work of foresight and diligence. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Verse 7 says this, it has no commander, the ant has no overseer, no ruler, yet, check this out, it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. You know, it's pretty hard work to have no leader, but yet still have the foresight to see in the future. And not only that, but the diligence to get there. Do we have any entrepreneurs in the building this morning? Anybody? No? Okay, well, we got one. That's right. Miss Carissa in the back. We might have a couple of entrepreneurs online. If my dad is watching, he's an entrepreneur, so he'll appreciate this, right? Carissa will tell you. Carissa is in our AV team back here in the back, by the way, for those online can't see her. She's the one making all the audio video happen this morning. For Carissa, she's her own leader, but she has to have enough foresight to see into the future to make effective decisions. Right? Not only that, Carissa has to have the diligence to stay true and hold fast to what she knows is coming ahead. Jesus had the ultimate foresight, did he not? Here's a man who is fully God, comes to this earth only to die a death in order to take the sin away from you and I, and he knows this from the jump. Yet, Jesus was diligent the entire time. He stayed the course. He didn't give in to temptations of the devil. And in the end, the Bible tells us he won a glorious victory. Jesus defeats death and the grave so that you and I may have life and have life more abundantly. All that being said, it was still hard work, right? I'm sure many of you have read the story of Jesus going to the cross. And you would say, yeah, Wes, it was a lot of hard work, but there was wisdom in that. And we read about how Jesus found wisdom along the way and how he taught wisdom along the way that he gained. So how does this really apply to you and I this morning? Well, great question, Kelly. I'll let you know how. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, we know following Jesus is going to be hard work. Amen. I only got like two amens. So we know, brother, we know, sister, that following Jesus is going to be hard work. Amen. Now hear me clearly. I'm not saying it can't be easy. I'm not saying following Jesus isn't glorious and wonderful and awesome. But if we're real this morning, all of us would say, yeah, you know what? there are times when following Jesus is hard. We know that the devil is going to try to knock us off our game. And many times, myself included, we fall victim to this. Even though each of us, you Christy, you Sharla, you Karen, even though we each have access to success and the authority of victory in Jesus Christ, we all, more times than not, seem to lose that foresight. For some of us, we have a hard time remaining diligent. But I'm here today to invite you, to encourage you, brother, to implore you, sister, to become more like the ant. Well, what do you mean, Wes? I mean, how do I do this practically? Well, good question, Alicia. This looks like, church, reading your Bible daily. Storing up your provisions, church, practically looks like putting on the armor of God every day. Storing up your provisions, brother and sister, looks like walking in the fruits of the Spirit. This, Belmont family, is how you and I store our provisions. That way, when it comes time to face the cold, when it's your time to face the enemy, when your battle comes, and it will come, you will have your provision in Christ ready to go. And the beautiful thing is, you don't need a ruler. You don't need a commander. I mean, is it nice having me up here preaching to you, teaching to you? Amen. Yes, thank you, Joel. It sure is, right? Certainly. Is it nice that we have a pastor, Pastor John and Christy, who love us and pour into us, Renee and Tim, who take care of our kids. Shout out to Renee and the children's ministry, and Bill and Ev, who are constantly praying for more people than I can count. All those things nice, without a doubt. Yes. But yet and still, we all have access to the Book of Life. We all have access to God's Word, which we can utilize on our own to store up our provisions. How many of you, by show of hands, have those friends who they just seem like they got provisions flowing out, just Jesus provisions? Nothing seems to go wrong for them. Yep, I got a couple of them. Actually, I got a friend who some time ago, lost his job. Had just got a house, and he's got a family, and he's down and out, right? As any of us would be. I mean, he's hurt. He's lost. But the interesting thing was, he says, you know, Wes, this is the toughest thing I think I've ever had to go through. And I really don't even know what's coming around the corner for me and my family. But what I do know, Wes, is that Jesus has a plan for me. What I do know, Wes, is that if I'm going through this right now, that means Jesus has a bigger and better plan for me on the other side of this. His family, their provisions were so full that really, it wouldn't matter what hit their lives in some ways, because they have already seen and they believe what God has promised them through His holy word. Nothing like the ant was going to keep them from reaping their harvest. Having the foresight to store up godly provisions can be hard work, church. I get it. Staying diligent along the road, it can be hard work. But if you stay the course, you stay the course, Darius. If you stay the course, Melissa. If you stay the course, Tyler. That's where you begin to get that wisdom, that hard work you have to go through. That's where the wisdom comes from. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about diligence. And so I've brought a few supporting scriptures here, because Proverbs makes it clear that diligence, being willing to work hard and to do your best at any job given to you, it's a vital part of wise living. And that's what we're talking about, right? The wisdom of hard work. And you know, we work hard, not necessarily to become rich or famous or anything like that. Maybe that comes with it. But ultimately, my brother and my sister, we're here to serve God with our very best during our lives. I'm going to give y'all just a few supporting scriptures. Is that this morning? Y'all cool with that? Proverbs 10:4 says, "The diligent become rich, the lazy are soon poor." Proverbs 10 and 5 says, the diligent gather crops, the lazy sleep during harvest and are an annoyance. Proverbs 12 and 11 says, the diligent have abundant food and gain many rewards while the lazy chase fantasies. Proverbs 12 and 24 says, the diligent will rule, the lazy will become slaves. 12 and 27 says, the diligent prize their possessions, the lazy waste good resources. 13 and 4 says, the diligent are fully satisfied, the lazy want much but get little. Proverbs 14 and 23 says, the diligent bring profit, the lazy experience poverty. Proverbs 15 and 19 says, the diligent have an easy path, the lazy have trouble all through life. The lazy are like those who destroy, the lazy go hungry, the lazy won't feed themselves, and the lazy won't plow in season. Should I keep going, Belmont family? Proverbs 20 and 13 says, the diligent stay awake and have food to spare. The lazy love sleep and grow poor. Proverbs 21 and 5 says, the diligent make careful plans while the lazy make hasty speculations, love pleasure, and become poor. The diligent give without sparing. The lazy desire things but refuse to work for them, are full of excuses for not working. Proverbs 22 and 29 says, the diligent will serve before kings. The lazy sleep too much, which leads to poverty. And Proverbs 28 and 19 says, the diligent reap abundance through what? Hard work, while the lazy experience poverty. Be diligent. Have foresight. This takes us to our last point this morning, the hard work of committing to Jesus. As I said, I probably should have started here and could have, but here we are, picking up in verse 9. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? There's that word sluggard again. How long will you lie there, you slouch? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. This last point is most important because, as I said when we started, some of you are asleep. Now, hopefully not practically asleep right here in this moment, but some of you are asleep, and I'm not just talking about when it comes to work and hard work, right? Some of you are spiritually asleep, and this goes both for those of us who are hearing about Jesus for the first time and those who have been walking with Jesus for years and everyone in between. How long will you lie there, the Bible asks. There's a battle raging on, a spiritual battle, not only for your soul, but for that person sitting next to you, for that family member who might be watching online. For some of you, the truth of this proverb, the truth of this message, it may not be hitting your ears this morning. It may not be hitting your heart and your mind because you're asleep. Some of you may have even tuned me out. Wake up! When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest. I don't need to work hard, y'all. I'm gonna just rest for a little while. Y'all figure this out. And the Bible says, for me, for those of us who are like that, poverty is going to come on us like a thief. The reason most of us get up in the morning is so we can earn a profit, right? So we can get to the money, so we can earn a check. That's why we work hard. And there's wisdom in that, right? The wisdom of working hard. Everybody would agree with that. There is definitely wisdom in working hard, right? Proverbs, as I was studying, Proverbs 19 and 24 came into play. It's so interesting how it seems like all the Proverbs are like intertwined and interconnected. In Proverbs 19 and 24, it says this, a sluggard, I know, I don't know why, but it seemed like as I was studying this word, sluggard just kept coming up in all the verses I looked at. A sluggard, a slouch, a lazy person buries his hand in the dish. Proverbs 19, 24 says, he will not even bring it back to his mouth. So I'm just really practical. So I was thinking about this. I'm like, all right, so a sluggard, a lazy person buries his hand in the dish and he won't bring it back to the mouth. So what I thought about was the fact that, look, I know we're getting close to lunchtime and I probably shouldn't talk about food, but I love teriyaki wings, all right? I love macaroni and cheese and yeast rolls. So as I was reading this, I'm thinking that's like me putting my hand in the dish of my favorite foods and not even bringing it back to my mouth. Like, honestly, if I was full and had just ate and somebody set those dishes in front of me, there is probably no way I'm not gonna bring that back to my mouth, right? Some of you are buried in real opportunity, real, tangible, physical opportunities, opportunities on your job, opportunities in your relationships, opportunities all around you, opportunities to do better and be better, but you won't even bring your hand back to your mouth. In other words, you don't even want to take a piece of what's around you, this wisdom of hard work. You don't want to work hard. This proverb is saying a lazy man may be able to put his hand in the dish to eat, but he's too lazy to even lift it back to his mouth. Now, how does this correlate to what we're talking about? Some of you have put your hand on the word, have said you will commit to Jesus, but won't even bring your hand back to your mouth to taste and see that the Lord is good. I think some of y'all missed that. Some of us, we have said, I commit to Jesus. I want to follow you, Lord. And you've put your hand on the Bible. You've placed your heart and mind right here where it counts. But you won't even take those words and practically apply it to your life. Bring it back to your mouth. Church, don't be this person. And I want to go a step further. See, being spiritually asleep, this is going to cause you to have poverty spiritually. And that's what the proverb we're talking about is. That's what we're going through, right? If you're asleep, if you won't get up, if you won't go work hard, if you won't provide for your family, if you won't take care of your kids and do the things that require hard work, you're not going to have the wisdom you need to commit to Jesus. You won't have that Jesus juice, so to speak, to make it through the day. But Wes, it's hard work committing to Jesus. But Wes, it's hard work waking up and reading my Bible before I pick up my cell phone. But Wes, I can't stop going to sleep. Yes, you can. You can do this. You can make it. The Bible tells us that you, my brother and sister, can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Proverbs 14 and 23 is known as the principle of success and says that all hard work brings a profit. And that's what we're talking about. That's where the wisdom is. Hard work brings a profit. Hard work gives you success and helps you to understand Jesus, especially when the hard work is concerned with the Bible and with praying and with shepherding those around you. For some of you, it's just mere talk. And I would say mere talk even in itself about what you're going to do when it comes to Jesus, how you're going to commit. Mere talk, that too will lead to poverty. And this may be a bit harsh right now. Some of you may be thinking about the ways of the ant, right? And how you need to change and consider how the ways of the ant applies to your life. Some of you perhaps are considering that, you know what, I haven't been diligent in walking in the success and the access and authority of Jesus Christ that he's provided to me by going to the cross. Some of you, perhaps for the first time, are just realizing, you know what, Wes? I do need to commit fully to Jesus. Church, if you haven't noticed, the world around us is changing rapidly. God needs warriors to fight for his gospel, for his glory, for his people. This is why we must consider the ways of the ant who can lift up to 50 times its weight and also happens to be an excellent communicator. This is why we have to have the foresight in our lives and the diligence to stay the Jesus course. This is why we have to get biblical wisdom, which starts by committing to Jesus. Yes, it will be hard at times. But ultimately, this is why we must constantly and consistently commit back to the Father. This is where the wisdom lies. This is how we get that wisdom and hard work, by constantly and consistently committing to Jesus, committing to his word, his will, and his way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the word this morning. Thank you for the truth in Proverbs. Thank you for guiding us down this path of examining the ant and just thinking about how even the ant, a creature so small, but yet has so much wisdom and works hard and provides resources and comes together as a community, shelters those to keep their population and their lifeline alive. Lord, I pray for us who are battling kind of this concept of being asleep right now. Lord, and I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch those right now who feel like they're asleep, who feel like they have a hard time accepting the truth of this word, that you would wake them up, Lord Jesus, right now in this moment. Father God, I pray for everyone here, everyone under the sound of my voice, that we would all, myself included, leave this place today considering the ways of the ant, considering the fact that Jesus has given us through his word foresight into how we should act, the wisdom we need to go about our daily lives, and how we can have diligence in that. Lord, I pray for diligence for each and every one of us this morning. I pray that we would be diligent in following you, diligent in committing to you, and not just for the moment, not just here on this Sunday morning, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day, when faced with hard work and when faced with tough decisions, that we would lean on you, stay committed to you. Lord, I pray for anyone this morning who doesn't know Jesus, who is maybe hearing about Jesus for the first time and thinking about how this whole concept of the ant and diligence and foresight and needing to commit to them, I ask that it would just come to a head. And that if nothing else, Lord, that person would hear that they first and foremost simply just need a relationship with you. If there's anyone here right now and that is you, don't let this moment pass by, but ask God. You can talk to him right now. Just ask him, Lord, I need you. Come into my heart. I want a relationship with you. Lord, we love you so much. I thank you for the word this morning. I thank you for our church family. Be with us as we leave this place. We're going to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that you so rightly deserve. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Amen.